Welcome to the Venus Index Podcast. I'm John Barman, and with me today is Chris West. And Chris has been with us for a while in the forums, and she came in third in our open contest. And Chris, I'd say you probably have one of the most muscular physiques in our whole community, if not the most, and you're one of the most advanced lifters. And I know that your story is a little different because you actually were involved, or at least have been using the Adonis program first, and you're kind of, I guess you come from a bodybuilding sort of mindset. So first of all, thanks for being on the call. Your pictures were awesome. And can you just give us your training background, I guess? Because I know your story is a little bit different than everyone else's.
Oh, okay. Sure. Well, my name is Chris, and a lot of you don't know me by that name. My forum name is Jim Pixie. I'm 49 years old. I'm married, and I have two daughters, 21 and 17. So right now I'm happy to say my life is pretty much my own. I don't have little ones to look after. My husband is a shift worker, so when he's off shift, then I pretty much can kind of do my own thing. I have a full-time job, and I usually try to work out 5 to 6 times per week. So a little bit history about how I kind of got into the weights. I pretty much started lifting in high school. And then I got hooked on Rachel McLeish and that kind of style of bodybuilding. And I kind of followed her pretty much all the way through my high school years.
And now, how were you exposed to her in magazines and stuff? Because I came across her pics. She's a bit before my time, but I found her like going backwards through magazines and stuff. And I was like, whoa, that's what Miss Olympia is supposed to look like.
Yeah, it was kind of, I come from a European background, so my parents were not too thrilled, let's say, with me trying to pursue that kind of thing. It's like it's a guy sport type of thing, right? Mm-hmm. So I was one Saturday when I was just kind of flipping through the TV, and there just happened to be one of her fitness shows came on, like that, not necessarily hers, but it caught my eye. It was a fitness competition that was televised.
And how long ago was that?
Oh, geez. I was like, grade 9, 10.
Okay,
so,
okay.
Yeah, maybe about 15, 16.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you kind of, even like now, you kind of look at people and you kind of like one physique as opposed to another type of thing. So there was all these girls on there and stuff. But for some reason, I kind of gravitated to her more so than the other girls.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I waited for the headlines at the end, and oh, Rachel McLeish. So then, I mean, we didn't have the internet back then, so then I just was just, oh, I went to the library and anything Rachel McLeish this, that. I started buying all of these muscle fitness magazines, and because she was in them.
Mm-hmm.
She was the prime back in my time, I guess.
Well, yeah, for people who don't realize, Rachel McLeish, or I don't know if McLeish or McLeish, I don't know which the pronunciation is, she's the very first Miss Olympia, for people who don't realize.
Yeah, so, yeah, I would Google her, and actually, if for the Venuses, I have her, she was my mentor, so in my album, I have a little picture of her in there for that's what I want to look like.
Mm-hmm.
I still have a ways to go, but, you know, you can't always dream, right?
Sure, you gotta have a goal.
Yeah. So she's kind of where I'm kind of aiming to be. So then I kind of decided, you know, this is what I want to do. So when I finished high school, pursuing my further studies, then I took kinesiology, and when I graduated, then I became a personal trainer. So I basically personal trained right out from when I graduated, and I've actually only been in the real, I call it the real working world, because I'm actually working for somebody rather than like working for myself.
Mm-hmm.
For about, since 2007 is when I kind of thought, okay, well, I'm getting kind of old now, so maybe I should just, you know, I need a pension, so I better find a job and just kind of do this on the side type of thing.
Or what, do the training on the side?
Yeah.
Oh, so you've been a trainer for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yeah. So but getting back to the training, back in my day, there were no measurement perimeters. Like, it was just your height and weight. So I was always in my height and weight range, but not really, you know, satisfied with my look. And that's when I came across Adonis, and I kind of liked the measurement ratios. So, and I didn't really know, like, when Adonis first, because, like, I'm going back to Adonis 2.0, so I'm at the very beginning. I don't think Venus was, you may have talked about it on, but I lurked their forums. I didn't go on them because I didn't see any females on there. So I basically just kind of lurked just for, like, if I had questions about some of the exercises or whatever, I was hoping, oh, maybe somebody in there had asked that same question.
Right, and this was back in the beginning. The Adonis forum was open for people to lurk. You couldn't comment if you weren't a customer, but you could lurk and see all the threads.
So I would go on to, like, you know, whatever. Like, I started with the build and burn one. So, you know, any questions I had with, you know, how to do the exercises, the rep ranges, that kind of thing, I would go on, and hopefully somebody had asked, and usually somebody else, you know, in the long run would ask the same question that I kind of had.
Yeah. So wait a minute. How did you even find us then?
I'm just going through on the internet. And I think it's when I got the Eat Stop Eat, actually.
Oh, okay. So you found Brad first. How'd you find that?
Oh, you know, you're always looking for diet stuff, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's always, you know, the exercise thing seems to be the thing that you can kind of change more easily than the nutrition part of it. It's just, you know, you just get set in your ways, and then the mind games start. So you're always looking for something that would help, you know, just kind of push you into the direction that you really need to go.
Right.
Type of thing, eh? So, so I did the build and burn, and then I did the Adonis 2.0, and then I purchased the 3.0 package, and I think it's when I got the 3.0 package that there was more talk about Venus. But it hadn't really come out yet. I think you guys came out in November, I think.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, so I think I purchased 3.0 in the summer.
Yeah, 3.0 was ahead of Venus, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then with the 3.0 came, you know, the MBF, Muscle Building Foundations, and, you know, the RAGE and the specializations and all that kind of thing. So I did all of those.
Oh, what'd you think of all that then?
Oh, it's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. So that's more in your wheelhouse. That's what you like.
Yeah. I'm more of a heavy lifter. But then Venus launched. So I purchased Venus, and I followed the VI. You know how the actual VI was out actually before the first contest, right? It was kind of like our prep to get in the mindset and kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I did the VI prior to the contest, and I actually reached my VI then. So then when the contest launched, shortly after that, I think VC came out, the Venus circuits. So I got those. So then I was basically doing 3 days of Venus, the VI, and then 3 days of VC, the Venus circuits.
Did that feel like too much, or was that manageable for your conditioning?
Oh, man, I loved it. Yeah, no, that for me, that was perfect.
Okay.
Yeah. It gave me the, like, VI gave me what I needed, because I love to heavy lift, so the heavier the better. Yeah. And I was able to do that, and whereas with the circuits, you can't really, because it's a combination of moves. So and actually, I think I blogged that at the beginning. It was like, I can say bench or chest press this much, but then I can't do the next thing, or when you had to do the
in the circuits.
The arm movements, the double movements.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Go ahead. You could lift heavier for one part of it, but you couldn't for the other, and I was just messing with my head.
And you have to remind yourself it's not, you know, if it's a squat and press, yeah, you can squat more and you can press more, but it's a squat and press, so it's something else.
Yeah.
So, you and me both, though. I'm the same way. Those circuits, I have to, and I'm stubborn. I bet you did the same thing. I would go into it using the weight I think I can use, and then I'm like, oh, man, I can't do that. I have to.
Yeah. So, and people are at the gym were used to me lifting heavy, so they would walk by and say, oh, having an off day, you know, because, you know, they notice that I'm not lifting as heavy when I was doing the the circuits, right? And that would really just add fuel to my fire. And I'm just like, oh, you know, I want to grab a heavier dumbbell or whatever, you know, but I knew, oh, that's only going to result in injury. So it's just like, suck it up and just do what, you know, you're used to doing. But, people that were used to me, you know, the squat rack and, you know, the leg press machines and all that. And here I'm with these, well, what it seemed like for me, you know, smaller dumbbells. They're like, oh, are you having an off day?
Yeah, no, it does. Yeah, and it's, you have to remind yourself that it's okay. It's not meant to be, that specific moment's not meant to be that heavy.
Yeah.
Because it's still hard work. It just doesn't, it's just not what you're used to.
Right. Yeah.
So the main workouts were fine as far as lifting heavy, though.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not lifting now during the summer months, but when, in the fall when I go back to it, I'll probably go back to Busy Eye. I was writing down what I was lifting, and I know it'll take me a little bit. And this is why I kind of take the break in the summer, because when I do it all through the winter, I kind of get to a point where I'm lifting as heavy as I can without a spotter, mm-hmm. and there isn't really one available all the time. Mm-hmm. Like even to set you up for, you know, like the dumbbell chest press, you know, like I need somebody to pass me the weights. Once I get them up at chest level, then I can press them myself.
Right.
But then when I'm done, I need somebody to help me
put them down.
Get them down. Like, I saw the guys just throw them. And, yeah, that, I don't want to be doing that. So, you know, I kind of take this break, and I know I set myself back. Not too far, because I know I'm still doing things that require, like with rowing and cycling and stuff like that.
So you're really active. You're just not targeted muscle building. How long do you take off?
Usually, when the weather gets warm. So I usually lift from September to the end of April.
Mm-hmm.
And then from weather permitting, mind you, here in Canada, we've been rain waterlogged, but we still ride unless it's storming and whatever. Mm-hmm. And we still row unless it's thundering. So, yeah, then we start in, like, the beginning of May, and I'll go to, like, weather permitting, end of September sometimes.
And is it completely off, or do you just dabble like once a week? Or
no, it's completely off, because you know what I did? When you guys had that last promo that you just had,
mm-hmm.
I picked up a couple of more Adonis programs, and it was just one rainy day, and then it was really windy, so we didn't ride, and it was just another day that we didn't row either. So I thought, oh, I'm going to go to the gym, because I was just itching to try it, eh?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you did.
Oh,
and?
God. Okay, so I did that, and then the next day we rode, but my triceps were—I couldn't pull on the oars at all. And I'm going. I said to myself, I'm going, okay, well, this is why I don't do both at the same time.
Oh right, because you can't be sore and be doing all that outdoor activity at the same time.
Yeah, it just doesn't work. Like you can cycle and go in the gym, no problem. And actually, the cycling isn't that bad unless you go heavy in the legs. But I feel it more in the rowing, because it's all the shoulder and it's all the shoulder, the back.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. Plus the first cycle of ATS is painful.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I only did that one day, and it was just kind of like, well, I better lay off of this stuff. So yeah, I'm dying to get in there and try those.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I don't. I mean, who knows what you'll be doing in September, because the VI is going to have another phase coming out by then.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I just started building it today. Actually, I just got back from the first test workout today.
Is it kind of like along the same lines, or?
Well, I guess this is the teaser trailer right now. It is a 12-week base workout. Like, it's a 12-week workout, so I'm kind of, I guess right now its pet project name is Phase 2.
Okay.
And it's going to be, so it's not a circuit, it's more of a base work, like more similar to the main workout, so it's, but it's going to be, at least part of it is going to be superset based, but then it's also going to get a little bit heavier than the main one. So there'll be, like, for instance, what we did today was, we did some combo exercises, but then we followed them up by splitting it out into a superset after the combo.
Okay.
But the supersets both drop in weights, or drop in reps and go up in weight, so they're both way heavier.
Okay.
So I'm just putting the other new set styles that I've never really worked with before.
Is it
so,
like pyramids and drop sets?
In a way, but yeah, oh yeah, there'll be those in there too.
Yeah.
I might actually put in some I guess this will be the first time Venus has its own sort of set of rage workouts too.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so those were good.
Yeah. So it's going to be, so all of that's getting put together now. So who knows, maybe in the fall, maybe you want to do that instead of ATS, but we'll deal with that then.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So, okay. So I guess you've got a, now this is interesting that you said that, have you always taken the summers off?
Yeah. Not at the beginning. Like, I'm kind of muscular-wise where I want to be, and I know I posted on the pics on the Adonis side after I reached VI, and I got some kind of weird comments, your abs look scary, and not meaning, not being mean or anything, but it's kind of like, oh, maybe I've gone a little too far.
Oh, no, you haven't. Your abs looks, I think that's almost an intimidation. Guys being intimidated, but that's not a bad thing.
No, I'm not saying it was bad, but it's just kind of like, oh, and then I think I posted on my blog when, I don't know if I'm allowed to, if I should say it, but, there was a video that was out, and I think maybe you guys will get the gist of it if I just go on with what it was, and they had a picture of a thinner model and one of a more muscular figure and girl. Which would you rather be?
Right, yeah.
And I was more the other one, and then I'm on the blog, and I was just like, what's wrong? Like, WTF, what's wrong with this girl? Like, that's what I look like type of thing, right?
Well, but everyone's got their own thing, right? Like, if you want to be more lean and muscular, that's what you want to be. The best part is you can still have your VI numbers and be that way.
Yeah. But so I think I'm going to do a twist on the next for the next contest. So that's all I'm going to say on that.
Oh, interesting. So you're going to that's your teaser trailer.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. So now the key thing. So how long has it been since you've been taking summers off?
I started taking summers off. I'd say maybe for 3 years now.
And so I guess you wouldn't say you've lost muscle the way people would fear.
No, you know what? I think it's when you work at it, it just gets pumped. It gets like, I can still get the same pump when I'm done, like erging or rowing. Mm-hmm. So my upper body, like my biceps and my triceps are just screaming. Mm-hmm. And for you girls, you know how when you first started to do that step up and press, you know how your arms get to that point where they just feel like pins and needles all in them?
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of, you still get that. It's just you're not lifting weight. It's more of I guess I call it functional training. I don't really know if that's the correct term for it or not.
Well, it's just moving intensely. That's all it is.
And I think that kind of came from my bodybuilding mindset, I guess, if you want to call it, where they do the periodization,
mm-hmm.
where they go heavy and then they kind of back off and then they go heavy again and they back off type of thing.
Yep.
Like for me, I just like it when I go back in the fall and I start hitting the weights again. Like it takes me a couple of weeks, sometimes even a month to get to where I'm at, but I seem to progress way quicker. And I feel that if I just keep doing it, I just kind of get to the point where it just seems that sometimes I don't make any progress, or it feels like I'm not making any progress as far as picking up a heavier weight.
Mm-hmm. So you actually really, the time off really does help.
I think it does. But then again, like I'm lifting 6 days a week and I'm lifting heavy, so I'm sure my muscles like the break.
Yep.
You know, not that they're sore or anything, but I think, you know, everything, and I'm getting up there in age too, so I think things just need a little bit more time to recoup.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and there's another way of looking at it. If you're going 6 days a week and somebody else is only going three or four, but they do that all year, but you take the summer off, by the end of the year, both you and the other person could have actually done the same number of reps. You just choose to reallocate them, right? You know what I mean? Like
I just like changing it up, and then I just feel I can't really say I've ever felt like not going to the gym, because I've never really missed a workout when it's actually like gym time,
right?
Summer, but for me it's just you just kind of go in there with a new focus, a new attitude, and And I just try to, you know, to try to get better than what I was when I stopped working out.
Mm-hmm. But to be clear, in the summer, it's not like you're just doing nothing. You're really active, and you're
the muscles
are getting worked. They're just not getting worked in a bodybuilding specific targeted way.
That's right. Like we're out on the water every morning for about two hours, rowing.
Mm-hmm.
And then after work on, I think it's Tuesday, Thursday, and the weekends, we're part of a cycle group, whereas we road ride and we off-road ride too.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing that for 2 hours, you know, and then there's like speed drills and stuff like that. So, I mean, I know I've blogged and I don't do cardio, but I meant like I don't do your basic gym cardio. Like
right. You
won't see me on a treadmill. You won't
right.
see me on the elliptical. You may find me on the erg if the gym has one, but that's about it, or doing a spinning class. But I usually don't start those till it's almost time to go outside and actually get on a bike.
Right.
And just because I need, you know, some kind of endurance prep, I guess, if you want to call it.
Sure.
Before I head outside. So
for the summer, you shift away from weights and into this kind of training.
Mm-hmm.
Or activity, if you will, training.
Yeah, because I'd rather be outside too. So.
Well, we don't get very many months of nice weather, so we might as well use it when you got it.
Yeah, so it's kind of you know, and I'm cooped up in an office all day, so you know, like during the winter again, when I'm lifting my hour lunch, I will go to the gym and I will do my weight workout then.
Uh-huh.
And then sometimes I'll go after work and do something else, like if I do like a. When I wasn't following the Venus, I would do like splits, upper and lower. So during my lunch day, I would go and do upper, and then after work, I would go and do lower.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, I would do lower for lunch and then upper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like when I took Kino, actually program design was one of my favorites. So I'm always designing programs for myself and things like that. So, so I would change it up because then, you know, people would say, oh, you know, did you just work out your upper body yesterday kind of thing? And I'm like, well, yeah, but, you know, there's so many different exercises that you could do for the same body part without actually kind of hitting the same muscle the same way.
Yeah, well, yeah, people don't really, like you said, program designs the whole thing's program design. If if you really know how to design a program, you can go twice a day, 6 days a week if you want, if you design it properly. Like you know, you can change the exercise, you could change the pattern, you could change the intensity levels. So you could have undulation and periodization happening like within itself within a week. So so certain muscle groups could be getting higher intensity one day and lower intensity the next, but then you keep switching. Oh yeah. Like it can go on forever. Like I don't know that you might have recognized it. I don't know if everyone does, but that's going on in the Venus workouts. There's things going up and down all over the place.
Yeah. I've picked up on that. Yeah. And that's why I can kind of do that too. In the wintertime when I was doing the Venus, I would do Venus VI.
Mm-hmm.
In the after, like at my lunch, and then after work, I would go and do the circuits.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Okay. And they are designed to be; those two are designed to be compatible for exactly that. It should be interchangeable to some degree.
Yeah.
And then the new one I'm building is even more periodized. It'll look a lot more like the Adonis stuff,
okay.
Like those original programs you did that are really, really obviously changed. That these next VI ones are going to do that too.
Yeah.
So that's pretty interesting. Okay, so then obviously you're really lean, so and the girls are going to want to know, and I want to know too, like how you maintain that, how you get that and maintain that.
Well, I think I mentioned in my blog, I kind of did stop eat and the anything goes, I guess, without really even knowing that that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in high school, I wasn't allowed to wear makeup. So I had my lunch money, which was supposed to go for my lunch, and I never got up in time to have breakfast. So I basically got up, got ready, went to school, had my lunch money, but I didn't buy lunch. I went to the drugstore, and I bought makeup, and I went to school, and I put my makeup on because I couldn't ask my mom for makeup because I wasn't allowed to wear it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where the eat, stop, eat. So then I would, like, you know, I had my... I always took gym, and it was extracurriculars after school and type of thing. So I would, so if I'm awake, I'm at school, I didn't eat breakfast, I haven't eaten lunch, and then I wouldn't have dinner till I got home.
So you were kind of a fast all day and have dinner sort of person, mm-hmm. and you had no idea that's just how your life turned out.
Yeah, that's just the way it was, because it was makeup, right? I wanted the makeup, and I couldn't ask for the money for that because I wasn't allowed to wear it.
Right. Did you wash it off before you went home?
Yeah, a few times I forgot, so I kind of got busted.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but it just, you just got, I for myself, I don't know, I just got so used to doing that, when I got into the bodybuilding and, you know, you buy the fitness books and they're eating like the 6 meals a day, yeah. I couldn't do it because I'm just not programmed that way.
Like, and to be aware, because you were explaining to me, you're in some hardcore communities, and did you read a lot of like bodybuilding and fitness stuff?
Oh yeah, and you know, and they still go on about it in those communities. I just kind of, I don't
but
say anything.
At no point it managed to make its way into your psychology. Like you never adopted that.
No, I tried it a few times because I mean that's just what they say you had to do. Like especially in the beginning when I really was. I had no muscle then, you know, like you're a grade 9er, you know what I mean, and a girl. So when I was just first getting into it, but I wanted to look like Rachel McLeish, and I would do anything to get there,
uh-huh.
type of thing. So it was like, okay, well, you got to eat, you know, 6 meals a day, and it's just kind of like, you know, I think I tried it for the first few days, and it was just kind of like, I actually felt sick because I wasn't used to functioning on all that food.
Yeah. So you just ditched it within a week and was like,
oh, that's it. I ditched it, you know, and I still lifted weights. And I don't know, maybe it did slow my progress back then because I was trying to build. Like right now, I'm just maintaining. So,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, it's not as crucial. But I kind of look back and sometimes I think, I wonder how big or how much more defined I would be if I actually did. You know, you have to have this much protein and this much, you know, carbs and all that. Like, I'm not a math person to begin with, so to sit there and actually crunch those numbers, unless somebody's going to crunch them for me, it just wasn't
happening.
Yeah, it wasn't just not my cup of tea. Like, I know there's some girls on the forums with spreadsheets and stuff. Like, I mean, that's fantastic. If, you know, that's your thing, right? But me, and I've always been, like, not just with the weights, it's with everything. Like, just give me the cold notes. I don't care about how to get it, how you get there, blah, blah, blah. Just give me the bottom line. And I just kind of tend to figure things out, you know, how to get there kind of thing.
Yeah, you don't really care about the why. You just want the how-to and just go with it.
Yeah, like even the BMR. Like, I don't know what my BMR is. Like, okay, I'm 5'2", so... For me, I'm thinking, okay, I'm 5'2", and I'm short, and I'm thinking, okay, 1,200 cals has got to be capped for me, right? And
well, some remember, it's a suggestion. There's a range.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And that's how I've kind of always done it. Like even back before, you know, the Venus and everything, it was just like, okay, I figure I need 12,000 calories. That would be my max. So if I'm trying to lose weight, maybe I'll eat 1,000 calories. And if I'm really trying to nail it for a big function or whatever, then I think I'll just drop it to 800 cals.
Yeah.
And I just kind of automatically do it. Like, I don't really count mentally. I'll do a mental count. Like, for instance, okay, I have a salad with chicken breast in it. So salad is what I'll usually say, about 100 calories. Chicken breast, say 250, 300.
Yeah.
You know, and I just kind of eyeball it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how, I mean, you can't, it's really hard to get that much more precise than that anyways.
Yeah. Like, you know, like over the years I have looked at, you know, the labels and stuff. So you kind of know, like an egg, 70 calories, 75, whatever, you know, that kind of thing. I know what my protein powder is. And I think that's all, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Once you get used to it, then it's. I mean, almost anything you eat, you're like, eh, I know what that is. That's about, you know, 5, 6, whatever it is.
Yeah. So I've never really, you know, I guess way back I was doing the calculating more so, like when I was trying to build, because it was all new. Like, you know, you're just getting into this, and it just kind of seemed that that's what everybody was doing.
Right.
Like in the bodybuilding kind of thing, right?
So sure, yeah.
Everybody was, you know, you have to figure out your how much percent protein, how much percent carbs, and all this. And I'm going, wow, this is just, I just want to eat my food. I want to lift the weights. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be writing this down.
So do you even pay attention to how much protein you eat now?
No.
No? You just kind of get it when you get it?
Yeah, you know, Lent kind of fell in between this contest, and my oldest daughter wanted to do the vegan thing.
Oh, yeah, I remember you saying that on the forums.
Yeah, nothing against the vegans, or I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right, but, you know, when you look at the processed foods, like they have the veggie burgers or whatever,
yeah, yeah.
If you look at the ingredients on them, there's a lot of processed stuff in there.
Well, I guess part of the concept there is to eat like raw stuff or a lot of, you know, unprocessed. Yeah, I don't really understand that. I think it's...
Yeah, so I
think... Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, just give me my fish and my chicken. And it's just kind of like, you know, oh, but fish have feelings, you would say. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
So I kind of got through that. But, I don't really pay attention to protein, but I always try to include protein when I do eat something. Even if it's just a snack. I know. I think it's the bodybuilding thing still kind of stuck.
I'm
need it, but I'm always, okay, I have to have a protein and I have to have a carb.
Yeah, I'm with you. I have the same twinges. No matter when I eat, and I have the exact same thing. Even if I don't, I always think about it. So if I just have like a bagel, I'm like, oh yeah, there's not actually that much protein in that. Like I always think maybe there should be some protein source with it. And it's fading, but I don't know if it'll ever completely go away. Like that feeling.
Yeah, no, for me, it's just kind of like, okay, so I had strawberries and it's like, okay, well, that's my carb, so I have to have a protein with this. And I'm going, well, what can you have with strawberries? You know, that's really like a like cheese, I guess. Like, you know? It's
kind of yeah, like but then there's fat in the cheese, too, so.
Yeah, you know? So you're always kind of, I mean, I am anyway, so it's always, so I try to stick to, like, the easy stuff. So, like, Sunday is my barbecue day where I just get on the barbecue and I don't eat red meat only because I never really cared for it.
Yeah.
Not that I'm not a vegetarian and I'm not a...
It's not for any ideological reason, you just
don't
get
around
to it.
Yeah, I just don't, yeah, it's just kind of, I don't know, not my thing.
Yeah,
like
no, that's
even
fair.
Growing up, because we're European, we didn't really do that much red meat. We did more like pork and stuff, pork and veal.
Yeah.
So, but my husband likes like the steak and the hamburger and I'm like, okay, well, I'll put it on the barbecue and I'll cook it for you guys, but I'm not eating it, type of thing. So Sunday is my cook-off, I call it. So I get all my groceries and everything, and then I do, like, the fish and the chicken for me. Sometimes I'll do, like, shrimp and stuff, and for the kids and my husband. So I'll do, like, sausages, hamburgers, steak. And because we're all on different shifts kind of thing, like my husband's shift work, my oldest daughter works, I don't usually come home after work. And so at least there's something that they can just kind of grab and make like a potato with it or a salad or whatever, right? And then it's there for me too. So when I come home from work or doing my workouts or whatever, then it's pretty much ready.
Oh, so you do that cooking and then like have it for the week sort of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right, okay.
Yeah, so I mean if I did eat lunch... I would be taking some of that to work, you know, to have for lunch and stuff.
Yeah, and you said, oh, so do you, okay, so you said how you started, like back when you were younger, you just, because of the makeup thing, and just sort of, you ended up eating the one meal a day. Do you still do that, or like, what's it evolved into?
Yeah, I still do that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like, I won't give up my sleep for nothing. So, the mornings, I get up, and, you know, we have rolling or whatever. I get that all done, come back, get ready, go to work, drop my daughter off at school, pick up a Tim Horton coffee, and I'll have that at my desk. Lunchtime, well, during the winter I go to the gym. Mm-hmm. In the summer now, if the weather's nice, I'll walk. If it's raining, like it's been crappy here for the last month, I just usually work through my lunch, and I'll leave an hour early. And then if I like do my workouts or riding after work, so then, yeah, I don't eat till, I don't know, 7, 8 o'clock usually, which is, and I'm cutting it close because I allow myself an eating window, because on the weekends I do eat more so.
Right, sure.
But it's still the one meal a day. I don't do the breakfast or the lunch. So after work it's kind of cutting it close, but so it's a good thing that everything's ready in the fridge. I just kind of come home, heat it up, eat it, and then that's it. I'm done for the day type of thing.
Right, and that's just, that just works for you.
Yeah, like I've never, and I've, you know, we've gone away on trips and stuff where that's the thing to do is you're on holidays. So, you know, we got to have, and my husband's like, you know, he's one of these people that, and I don't know how they do it. Maybe it's just they get up in the morning and right away it's like, you know, they're in the kitchen and they're cooking, like eggs, whatever. Oh, mm-hmm. Do you want an egg? And I was just like, no. You know what I mean? It's just like I just can't bring myself to, even on the weekend, to eat like that early. To me, it's early. It's early.
Yeah.
It's 9, 10 o'clock, but it's early, you know?
Yeah, well, it just sounds like you've been conditioned into your pattern for so long that it just works for you, and there's no reason to try to mess it up. Now, so I have a question then. Mm-hmm. Did you – in all the years you trained people, did you tell them this is how you eat? Because
no.
Did they have preconceived notions?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
you must have to keep this to yourself.
Yeah, no, they've asked. People ask, and I just kind of like, oh, I don't eat a lot. Or, you know, oh, I'm really busy. So, you know, I try to get something in as, you know, when I can. And I said, most days I usually just, you know, get around to having dinner, and they're like, that's terrible. You know, that's not good for you, and blah, 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 right? And, mm-hmm. Yeah, I would never, like, training people and stuff, I don't push it.
Yeah.
If they ask, I'll tell them, but then you get the raised eyebrow, and it's like, you know, oh, you're a personal trainer, and you're telling me not to eat. You know, and then you get that, and it's kind of like, So
Did you ever think you were doing something wrong, or that you just sort of – were an anomaly and you got away, obviously, because mainstream conventional wisdom is the opposite of what you were doing, but you were living proof that it works, so.
Yeah, like I just, to me, it's so much the norm. I mean, after the makeup thing, I got busted, there was other things that I was spending the money on.
Sure.
And it was just kind of like, I could save up and I could get, you know, a t-shirt, or I could save up and... Okay, I dabbled with cigarettes back then, so.
I love the fact you're struggling saying that right now.
Yeah.
It's okay.
So
it's okay.
Kind of like, oh, I can get a pack of cigarettes, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was kind of that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's great. So it never got into your conscience that somehow that was the wrong way to eat.
No, I mean, I go for my checkups and stuff, and nothing kind of seems out of the norm, and my physician, she's a female too, and she's never really said anything. And she's, you know, not overweight, but she's not on the thin side. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never got any blowback from my doctor or anything.
Yeah. So there was no touch points in your life that ever told you that there was anything wrong with this?
No, like my parents pretty much just kind of let me do my own thing.
Yeah.
I have an older sister who at one point, it was funny because she would kind of, she's a little heavier than I am, and, you know, she'd see, I'd kind of cut back on dinner so I can have dessert. Like, it's, you know, you're still a kid back then, so dessert was the highlight of the meal.
Yeah.
Not so much the meal. And she's like, oh, you know, don't you think, you know, you should be eating more of the dinner because it's better. It's better for you than the junk, right? And I'm kind of thinking, well, I want to have more junk, so I'm going to like pass on the actual meal, and just hold out for the dessert type of thing.
So you, without really paying attention, you had your calorie concept right online. You're just like, I can only have so many calories. I would just rather have the dessert calories.
Yeah, because like with the bodybuilding thing, you know, when I was following, you know, the fitness models were always, you know, being conscious of their calories and stuff. And like, for me, I never really actually calculated it. Mm-hmm. It was just like, I kind of thought, okay, well, I'm short and, you know, 1200 cals is probably my max. And, you know, I'll just kind of eat below that. And if I'm at a family function, it's all this good food and stuff. And, you know, but the dessert looks way better than the meal. So I want to hold out for the dessert. So,
yeah. Instead of just having a lot of both.
Yeah, but there is one thing, and I don't know, it's something that I have always done, is I don't eat off of a big dinner plate, ever.
Oh, you eat off of what, like almost like a side plate sort of thing?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I have been doing that for a while.
Is that on purpose, or you just sort of...
I read somewhere where it's kind of a mind thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's research about that for sure. Mm-hmm. People eat more off of a bigger plate.
Yeah, and I think it was just something when I was first, again, just wanting to get into the bodybuilding kind of thing. And so I've always eaten off of a small plate. And when that plate is full, then that's all I get.
And did you ever struggle with these concepts? Or you kind of, once you built them in as a habit, they just sort of stuck?
Yeah, like all this stuff, you know, it's just kind of second, like it's just, for me, it's just normal. It's normal, all this stuff. The eat, stop, eat, the anything goes. The eating off a small plate, the only eating one meal a day. It's just, I don't even think about it. It's just, that's just what I do.
So you're a bodybuilder at heart doing nothing of what a bodybuilder does.
Yeah, except like
the training you do, but none of the nutrition you follow.
Oh no, and like I even on these forums, and you know, like they're still going on about these 5 meals a day and your muscles, you know, and you're going to ruin your metabolism.
And then you take summers off, and then you come back, and you look just as good. And so what do you get out of that? I mean, I don't know if anyone's realized, but you actually frequent some other bodybuilding forums. So what do you? What do you think when you see, like, the nonsense they're talking? Like, I know that you go there to get, like, good ideas for training and stuff.
Yeah.
But what do you think of all the nutrition nonsense they talk about?
I don't comment on them. I read them, and I kind of snicker to myself.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, sometimes you have to walk away because you want to jump on there and just say, well, you know what? I've only been eating one meal a day for, okay, like, I'm 49 now, so I don't know how many years now, but... and my metabolism, I don't think, is ruined, and I still have muscles, and I don't know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't take vitamins. I don't take anything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they'd probably just say you're lying if you said that.
I know. I don't take, other than the protein powder. I don't do anything. I tried CLA caps a few years ago. It was recommended. Well, one of the girls at the gym was taking it, and I'm kind of thinking, oh, okay, well, I'll try it. But, you know, I did it for a few weeks, and I really didn't notice any difference, and so I just stopped taking those.
And that was that, eh?
Yeah, that was that. I mean, I'll try it. But yeah, no, I don't take anything.
Well, so I guess you're just living proof that it's just a lot of that mainstream fitness dogma is just nonsense. I mean, you've got more muscle than most girls could. I mean, you've got a lot of muscle and you're really lean. So, I mean, everything that anyone would think you would have had to have done to get to where you got to is probably not what you did. I mean, obviously you train heavy and that's, I guess we're getting on to the end here. What's your take home, like, advice for any of the Venus girls as far as like the concept of lifting weights and bulking up? And I guess what's your advice as kind of, this is your chance to be like, to have your like tidbit as a mentor coach here on the podcast.
For me, I would think like for the girls just starting out, like the muscles, it's more of being consistent. It's not really, well, it is kind of like the way you eat. You don't want to be eating junk and all that stuff. But for the girls, I would say is to try to reach what I call is the point of no return, or your sweet spot. So it's like, once you reach maintenance, it's kind of like the pieces of the puzzle have pretty much come together. Mm-hmm. So you're consistently making, like, better decisions. Like, exercising has kind of become, you know, part of your routine. And you get to a point where you're not necessarily eating less, but you're eating better.
Mm-hmm.
And then if, you know, you have family functions or whatever, if you go on vacation and your weight kind of goes up or whatever, then you know you don't have that helpless feeling. You know, it's a temporary situation, and you kind of know how to get back.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my mantra has always been, you know, if you want big results, then you have to push yourself beyond the normal limits to get them.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, the muscles will come. It's just a matter of once you get yourself into the routine, just being consistent. So even lifting 3 days a week, as long as you're consistent with it, within that year, you'll notice a significant difference in your physique and stuff.
Yeah. I
think I've just kind of been building, you know, year after year after year. I've been doing it, like, pretty much. I started when I was 16, so yeah, those muscles didn't happen overnight. So they took a lot of years in the making as well.
Mm-hmm. And so it's a story about consistency and patience.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing, you can't rush it. And you can train. If you train too much, then you're only going to risk injury. You can't force the muscle. Like, you can, the more you train, the more under stress that muscle is, and then it doesn't have the opportunity to repair itself and to grow. Because muscles actually grow. They don't grow when you work them. They actually grow when they're rehabilitating themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to allow them that as well. And I know I'm saying that, and I work out 6 days a week, but I'm not really doing, I'm training the same muscle, but I'm not training it the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of different.
Yep. Yep. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, those are all good points. I like what you said, the muscles will come, and it takes a long time. It's not like in a year and then it's over. I mean, you'll see significant changes in a year, but it takes time. And it's not like you're going to get overly huge or, quote, bulk up. I mean, you've been at it for 30 years now, and it's not like you've trained yourself out of looking like a woman. I mean, you have your VI ratio and everything.
Yeah, like, I think I've pretty much reached my limit where I can go as far as without, I don't know, you know, people take stuff to help them get their size.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yeah. You as far as you can go naturally.
I think so, because I've kind of noticed I'm kind of in a standstill. So that's kind of why I like backing off and then going back in it in the fall. Because at least that way I can kind of see some kind of difference.
Right.
Whereas if I just keep going year round, it just gets to a point where, you know, I'm not able to lift any heavier by myself. I don't really want to lift any heavier without risking injury for some of the movements. And, you know, I don't really make progress. I mean, every time you go to the gym, it is some kind of progress because you're working the muscle, and the muscles like that. But as far as, like, for building more muscle, I think I've kind of reached my limit.
Right. So you like your yearly sort of time off and then coming back and, like, kind of reestablishing it all.
Yeah. So that's kind of how I justify in my head that I'm actually getting bigger. I'm not, but, you know.
Yeah, but that's okay. You look, I mean, geez, you've the physique you have, a lot of 20-year-olds would kill for.
Yeah, well.
So, I mean, I think you're doing really well.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Like, I'm getting up there in age, right? So it's kind of like, you know, you read about, oh, the older you get, you know, your muscles degenerate or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, and that's where, as you get older, you run into your problems and stuff. And I'm kind of thinking, like, well, I don't want to be that 70, 75-year-old, you know, who have to walk with a cane or, you know, can only walk, you know, so many, can't walk or whatever. You know, I want to still be doing pretty much what I'm doing now, maybe not to the extent I am, but the one thing I like in my gym, there's it's a variety of age groups, and you see some of these older people, and they're amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh yeah, it's about longevity. I mean, the work you do now is going to pay off then, that's for sure.
That's right, and you know, and it's something like when I first got into this, you don't think about, but as you get older and you see people, you know, like you hear people get into accidents or whatever, and then you hear the doctor say, oh, you know, you recovered quicker because you were in such good shape, or, you know, if you weren't in such good shape, it would, you know, you wouldn't be walking today. Like, you read about stuff like that in the paper all the time, you know, so it's kind of like, well, if that ever happens to me, like, I'm hoping, you know, my muscles will be able to, you know, to get myself back to, you know, back on the mend or whatever, if you want to say.
You know, yeah, well, living a functional life.
Yeah, or people falling and breaking their hip because their bones are so fragile from not...
From not exercising. Right. No, I'm with you. It starts off as, it's interesting. It starts off as a pursuit of an aesthetic, and then it ends as a way of extending the quality of your life.
Yeah, like, you know, like when I first started, I was young, so I didn't really, this part of it, I wasn't really thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just wanted to look good, and, you know, you had dreams of being a fitness model, whatever, right? So, you know, as the years go by and you get older, and then it's kind of like, okay, well, I don't really care if I'm a fitness model now. I still want to look like one, but I don't really care if I'm on a stage anywhere. But now my mindset is, okay, like, I want to be, you know, when I'm older, I want to be able to still function and, you know, not have the aches and pains. You hear people, oh, my back is sore, or, you know, or they bent down and you know, you get up not the right way and you get a tweak in your back or something like that.
Yeah, well, I'm with you. That's, I mean, that, and that's it. And that's, I guess that's a good place to leave it off. It's,
okay.
It's the, yeah. Well, I don't know. Do you have anything else you want to leave off with? But I think
that makes sense.
Just
for the girls, you know, it's just like, just put your mind to it. And even, you know, three times a week is all you really need. Get your diet nailed down. And it's just being consistent. The weekends you can allow, like the weekends are my cheat day. You can allow to be a little bit more freer and don't beat yourself up if something comes up and, you know, like sometimes, you know, people say, oh, we're going out for lunch kind of thing. And, you know, you blow these people off all the time, but, you know, sometimes maybe they're going somewhere that's really good and it's kind of like, all right, you know, I'll tag along type of thing, you know, or it just ends up being a business lunch and you have no choice. So you just have the lunch and you don't have, you know, the dinner. Or, or for you guys, if you go home and you still have your dinner, well, then just, that's your cheat day then. So just, you know, try to stay positive on the other days.
Yep. It's just adjust where you have to adjust and go out
like
when it's time to go out.
Yeah, with the anything goes, I mean, that's just it. Anything goes. So if something comes up, just go with it. Like, the whole point is trying to make it a lifestyle more so than, okay, this is 12 weeks for the contest and, you know, and I'm not going to go out and I'm going to stay home and I'm not going to do this. And, you know, and it's sure, and it gives you your results for your 12 weeks. But I think the main thing is just to try to teach yourself the strategies or whatever so that you can do it, you know, from now on type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the point. The contest is a strict run at it, and then afterwards maintenance, and that's what you've been speaking a lot about, is a lot of the girls now have to explore what it's like to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I think that was really good. Thanks for being on the call.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Okay, so for Chris West, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Venus Index podcast.